The In This League Podcast Network. In this ring, in this corner, Joe Pisapia. This corner, Tim Heaney. Gentlemen, let's go.
Hey, yo, what's up, everybody? It's me, Joey B, Joe Pisapia, and welcome to In This Ring, the greatest wrestling podcast in the history of the universe. It's me, it's Tim Heaney, and it's you, and we're rocking and rolling all the way through Crown Jewel into Survivor Series. It's transition time. It feels like a lot of transitions going on. There's a lot to talk about, a lot to unpack from the worldwide global event that was Crown Jewel. And we're going to break it all down for you. Plus, we're going to talk about everything as we continue to examine the matchups that are starting to take shape for Survivor Series in a couple weeks. We are getting closer to that, which is good. Because, Tim, I think it's a good thing to kind of turn the page from Crown Jewel. Now, please. I did not watch Crown Jewel. I'm gonna raise my hand and say I didn't watch it. I had intentions of watching it, and I was still kind of conflicted about watching it and giving them the satisfaction of watching it. And then I saw all the results on Twitter on Friday night, and I got on the train home, and I was like, yep, you know what? Not going to watch it. You know what? I'm not going to watch Braun Strowman get jobbed out. I'm not going to watch Shane McMahon be the best in the world. I'm just not doing it. I'm going to take a pass. So, Tim, how was Crown Jewel?
It was okay. There's context that was released after the fact that kind of makes me think it makes a little more sense, some of the matches, so we can get to that. But I was watching it during work yesterday because I was away for the weekend, and I was like, all right, let me just put it on the background. And it was an okay house show, and it was just on the grander stage as the greatest Royal Rumble was. So.
All right. Now, well, here's a question for you. I maybe this is true, maybe this is not. I mean, we could start with the tournament and the whole Shane McMahon best in the world thing. I'm of the mind, and maybe you can verify this for me because I haven't read much about it, that at first, although hilarious and weird and bizarre and people were saying this is, you know, the stupidest thing ever, maybe, just maybe, none of the wrestlers wanted to stand up and hold a big cup and be like this victorious whatever in this event and kind of have their name attached to it. So Shane McMahon basically took one for the team and took one for the company and was the winner, and I'm the World Cup guy, and I'm the guy who's going to get all the publicity off of this, and put a McMahon on that instead of one of the other wrestling superstars, which, let's face it, there, you know, some negative press out there could have come their way. Do you think this is the reason behind all that?
I think it's a logical explanation for it. I mean, it was kind of weird the way they played off. And, you know, first of all, there were a couple of decent matches. I mean, Rollins Ziggler is always going to be solid. Kurt Angle looked okay for his little bit. Yeah, Rey Mysterio, it's good to see him back. It, you know, a little bit of slow coming into WWE style again. But yeah, for the finish, it was my first reaction. I was actually with Michael Rathburn, friend of the show, when we were both in Arizona together. And we were kind of like, what the hell that went on? That's so stupid. And then you watch it, you know, at first I thought it might have been like a face turn for The Miz that was coming up, and or a heel turn for Shane coming up. They kind of haven't hinted at that as much with SmackDown yet, but I could easily see it being, like you said, a business decision, kind of protecting the talent, kind of like the way they allowed some people not to go. They're like, maybe put a McMahon on this as their responsibility. They're owning the fact they went there, type of thing. I think that maybe we might see the explanation in a few weeks as this. Maybe it is Shane trying to steal glory from somebody. Maybe it's Miz actually becoming a babyface and, you know, complaining that he should have gotten the title. But either way, I think it's so meaningless, so innocuous of a thing that I really don't care either way, and I'm okay with it being done. So.
Well, look, I'm not upset about it being done, but so far the seeds that I've seen being planted on SmackDown were Miz and Shane kind of being on one end and Daniel Bryan being on the other, and turning Daniel Bryan's character into something a little bit more entertaining, where he's kind of a little bit troublemaking and a little bit kind of more in your face and a little bit more snarky and a little bit more likable. Let's be honest. Daniel Bryan's been a little vanilla since he's come back.
And he's not always a great promo, so.
He is, but you know what? He lost a little bit of his edge because it was such a babyface thing for him to come back under the circumstances he did.
Yep.
And what I saw this week out of him on SmackDown and his performance on the mic and in the ring was the first time I've been excited about Daniel Bryan being back. Really excited. I mean, the first day, yeah, but after that, it faded away quickly for me.
Not the AJ Styles match?
Well, but that, you know what? That's working towards that, too. I think when you start to get into that more snarky, kind of feisty Daniel Bryan, that's where his character should always live.
Absolutely.
And he wasn't able to do that. And Miz always brings the best out in that. But if you kind of really push this envelope a little bit more with Shane,
I think it's good. But I really do believe in my heart, nobody wanted to have the publicity attached to them as best of the world at Saudi Arabia event, because we knew that was going to be big viral information that was going to go all over the internet. And I think the McMahons were like, look, let's take the heat off everybody. Let's just put it on Shane and we'll figure it out later. And I think that's exactly what happened. Now let's hold the Universal Championship for a little bit longer.
Yes.
Let's talk about the DX and the Brothers of Destruction. Mm-hmm. Shawn Michaels showing that he could still go. Obviously this match was, from what I gather too, it seemed like it, you know, still running at a pace that was a little slower than what we're used to seeing those guys work at back in the day. And that's to be expected. So what's your takeaway from this match in terms of who can still go, who can't?
I didn't time the Undertaker's entrance this time.
We'd still be here if you were.
But it was okay. Like, it was a showcase for the fans that don't get to see these guys. And, you know, I've come to understand that, that was the nature of this match. So, I mean, it's somewhat deflating seeing HBK, you know, being out there in this state comparing him to the past results. But it is good to see him, you know, back out there in general. He did have some fun spots there, even though, you know, he's still got some ring rust to work out. It was still an okay spectacle from what I would expect WWE to kind of give the people that they don't get to see these guys too often. And you know, Triple H after the match, I don't know if you saw the Twitter photos of what he actually
did. I did. Gross.
Yeah.
Did he tear his pectoral muscle again? Is that what it is? Because I know
it's a big
yep. Yeah.
God. And he had surgery yesterday, I believe, on Tuesday. So.
And what was that from? What move? What happened there?
I thought it might have been when they put him through the table. Because he was kind of, I mean, I don't know if he was selling because he was down, but I really don't know the exact point of it. He might have said on Twitter or something, but Triple H, you know, probably was middle of the match type of territory there, the way it was bruised up. So, yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty graphic. The picture afterwards was pretty gross. And now I'm kind of curious, too, does that put him in WrestleMania jeopardy at all? Because pectoral is a couple months.
That's a pretty big injury, yeah. I would think it's jeopardy for that.
Because I know they have that Batista storyline. I mean, maybe the pivot is Batista, Randy Orton.
Well, they could push it to SummerSlam too.
I guess, but I don't think they want to do that from a company standpoint. Roman's already probably out of that marquee. You need to add some names to that marquee.
Well, names to elevate in the next couple months. I got to prove it. So, you know.
Yeah, I guess so. All right, let's continue to move on here. The Bar maintains over, or should I say, retains over the New Day. Which is fine. I mean, I like the Bar, and I think it's a better setup for the Bar now to be kind of the likable, fun ones going up against the new Raw Tag Team Champions, which we'll get to a little bit later on the show. So I got no beef with this at all. Going through the rest of this card, too, I mean, really, let's talk about the elephant in the room. Let's talk about Brock Lesnar being Universal Champion again. This doesn't surprise me at all. I thought that this would be very well where they go back to. Which is really frustrating, and I think from a fan standpoint, everybody just kind of collectively goes, "Ugh, you know, why are you doing this?" But it sets up another match of marquee note with AJ Styles in a couple weeks. But
right. It
was the way it went down, which I think is really frustrating.
I think they're limiting Braun's work because I read a report, true or not, that he might be working her. He might be working with two bad knees now. So trying to give him less to do in a match is usually the best course in these situations just to finish the storyline out. So, you know, having him kind of chase down, Baron Corbin on Monday night and going ripping through security guards, not exactly so strenuous that he can't work through it. But I think that's what I've been reading is just the fact that he's a little broken down and keeping as little action as possible in this match was the intent, which explains it more after the fact. Now, in the moment, you're enraged about what happened, but that's the way wrestling works sometimes. You know, you got to find out if there's something to these things that are kind of weird.
All right, fair enough. Now, how do you feel about this Brock Lesnar reign now again?
Well, listen to this podcast. People should know how I feel about Brock Lesnar being.
Well, but I mean, this is different now. I mean,
it'll
now
be nice to get AJ in there though. Really good match.
Well, I said this, and I don't know if you saw that, but my thing on Twitter about it was, wouldn't it be cool if this is the beginning of that work through where we finally start to consolidate the brands? Because after the Survivor Series is over, there is no reason to maintain it, because next Survivor Series, the brand split's going to be gone by the time you hit October at the very, very latest. And because that's when that Fox deal kicks in, that's when SmackDown becomes the number one show because it's a network show. Mm-hmm. So why not start that now? Why not up the stakes, and why not make this a thing of, you know what, since this is the second time we're fighting Brock Lesnar, let's put the universal title. Let's consolidate it. You win. You are true champion of WWE. I win true champion. Let's just get rid of this WWE belt. It really means very little except you're SmackDown champion. And let's make AJ the number one. And you don't have to put him on both shows every night. You don't have to do that schedule with him, but at least you can. At least you have the options there. When you need the name on the marquee, you can do that. And then you can start to consolidate the brands. And if you're going to consolidate the brand under one guy, AJ is the most popular. I mean, nobody's going to groan and bitch and moan that AJ is Universal Champion. No one. Not one single person, I think.
I wonder if that was the intent even before, if there's a report of Braun being hurt. This might just be an adjustment. And they just kind of might have to, you know, work with Brock Lesnar's schedule, which, you know, rumors say he's not going to defend it until WrestleMania, but who knows. But I would get rid of the Universal. I wouldn't get rid of the WWE title. But, yeah, a lot of things are up in the air now with the Roman thing, and then if Braun, it really is working hurt. There's so many directions you can go, and I'm with you. I mean, if I want anyone to throw Brock Lesnar, I want to be AJ Styles, because he already lost him once. I think that would be a good setup if you're going with the emerging of the titles to have AJ win the really big one. So, yeah, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, look, I knew they were going to go back to the Brock Lesnar well, just because you have to understand that's, you know, that's what they want. They want stars at the top of this card. And Braun Strowman could be a star, but he's not yet. And I just don't think they're comfortable putting that on him. And I also don't think, I think there's a certain thing too that they, besides whatever injuries or whatever it is, that they don't want to give it to him this way, because it then does kind of feel default-ish.
They teased it, but yeah.
They did tease it, but I think under the circumstances, it kind of makes sense to do what they did and how they did it.
If they want to build him back up as a sympathetic babyface again.
Well, let me rephrase. It doesn't make sense to do it the way that they did it. They could have given him a better match, but maybe it's the injury thing. Maybe that's the problem. But, you know, this continues to kind of put a hurting on Raw. I mean,
yeah.
Now you go to another spot where the belt's never there. I mean, maybe you get Brock for 2 weeks. Up until SummerSlam. But this is the perfect opportunity to get the belt off Brock Lesnar in a big spot, combine everything, because you can get AJ to take this Universal Championship or give it up and be like, you know what? I'm going to Raw. I'm going to be Universal Champion. Because SmackDown, as great as AJ is, SmackDown is so good right now, they don't need him.
They can work around that. I was even thinking Raw can work around Brock because Seth and Dean is such a hot story right now. So,
yeah, I mean, that would make sense too. Yeah, I mean, there's lots of opportunities there, and I think personally,
there's ways to go. Yeah,
there's a lot of ways to go, and the Raw brand is hurting so bad right now for star power, and it's hurting so bad right now for more booking options. More than anything, it's just the booking options are kind of just so redundant at this point. You need some fresh blood. You need to change things. You need to shake things up. Unfortunately, the Roman's reign, Roman's reigns reign.
Yeah.
You know, was cut very short, where any of the things that you had planned, whether it was him and McIntyre or him and Strowman or whatever it is, it's gone by the wayside, and it's very difficult.
What do we say? Working with urgency. Going to find out what's going to happen in the next couple months with that. So
let's hope so. You know, so look, overall, as we continue to go through it, you know, we look at Crown Jewel into now Survivor Series. For me, that one match, I don't know about you, that I'm very excited about is Nakamura, Seth Rollins. I think that could be very fun.
I mean, Nakamura finally getting a big marquee match after a while. It's going to be very exciting. I think those two would work really well together as well. I wonder if they faced when he was Tyler Black in Ring of Honor.
I'd have to look that up too. I didn't remember that.
It would make sense, but
it probably happened at some point between the two of these guys. But you know what? Right. Regardless.
Match of the night potential.
That's exactly. Raw has never needed Survivor Series more.
I agree.
Because they need to get these guys in different matches against different guys that they haven't been there for a while. And it's, you know, I'm hoping that when we hit January Royal Rumble that, you know, you start to see some healthy guys come back, maybe the Bray Wyatts or the Kevin Owens. I mean, Bray Wyatt, they could really stand to bring him back. Where is him and Sister Abigail? They go on a vacation to the Bahamas together. Where the hell is Bray Wyatt?
That's what they're trying to make. They're trying to create demand for him again, which makes sense. But I hope they're working on some things with him. I don't know.
Well, look, bring him back now.
Yeah.
And where's Luke Harper?
Well, they've kind of kept him off since Rowan got hurt. So.
Yeah, but like, what a waste. Luke Harper is an extraordinary talent. Bring him in.
I agree.
I mean,
I'm with you.
God, I'm starting to rage out on this right now.
Gotta bring the two of them back simultaneously to have these.
I would agree. I agree. Bring them back together and you know.
Start recruiting again.
If you can't get the Shield back together, get the Wyatt family back together.
Right. Get Bo Dallas in there. That'd be fantastic because the B team's kind of done. So.
Yeah, well, everybody knew that was going to be a short-lived kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So, but look, it's at a certain point now where you really got to shake things up over on Raw. And I'm excited for Survivor Series, the Ronda Becky match. Mm-hmm. That's one too where, you know, let's just throw that out there because Becky has all of the crowd behind her.
Yep.
If you have Becky lose to Ronda, which I'm guessing is going to be the thing to happen, or Charlotte screw Becky
or
out of the Schwaz
win, on both sides.
You know, and that's how you start getting Charlotte and Ronda kind of involved in this. You can start this kind of three-way thing between them. And that's why Charlotte doesn't want any piece of wrestling in that other, you know, match. That makes a lot of sense. Mm. But you can't have a clean Ronda Rousey victory over Becky Lynch right now. That would be the worst idea in the world.
You've had Ronda have a schmoz finish when Alexa cashed in on Nia. I think you can make it work with something weird here. That's the tricky part of these.
Well, have Charlotte go full heel. Have her screw Becky.
Go ahead.
And then Ronda takes a, you know, takes.
Ronda kind of. Well, if you're trying to keep Ronda babyface, then sure.
Well, but you can because what you do is Ronda takes umbrage of is like, hey, stay out and mind your own business or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then if you play that off to Charlotte winning Royal Rumble, then you turn around and then have her choose between the old feud of Becky Lynch and the new feud of Ronda Rousey, then you've got something really fun there.
Yeah, makes sense.
I think that's the way to go. That's what I want to see. We'll see if the people want to see it. If you want to see that, you can tweet us at In This Ring, at Tim underscore Heaney, at Joe Pizapia 17, and let us know. Because I'd like to hear some of the people out there. The download numbers are pretty good. So I want to hear some more people get involved on the Twitter and talk a little wrestling with us. So let's do that. We're going to hit a break. When we come back, we're going to start talking a little bit about SmackDown, about Raw, what we saw, what was good, what was bad, what was fugly. Because you're listening to In This Ring right here on the In This League Podcast Network. We'll be right back right after this.
I will drive nothing but Mercedes to roll, right? I will go nowhere. And a commercial air rider, I will ride in nothing but limousine, and I will make love to nothing but
In This Ring.
All right, let's get at it. Let's talk about Raw. You know, a lot of people saying, oh, it's boring or what have you, and you know, I don't blame them because it's in a boring place. Now, you did have a little bit of fun stuff going on here with Elias, which I enjoy, which that babyface turn starting to really work, I feel like. But let's start with the big thing. Let's start with the Dean Ambrose coming back as well here. So what the big story of the night, I think, has got to be Rollins losing the tag team championships to Authors of Pain.
I was the tag team champions.
Right, I was the tag team champions. So here you go. So here's Authors of Pain's run. You're giving them the belts. Mm-hmm. Revival.
AOP. It's not Authors of Pain. It's AOP now.
Whatever. AOP has jumped over the Revival, which, yeah. I mean, the Revival's just never going to work. Sorry, guys. They should go to Impact. If I was Impact, I would sign them in a second. Mm-hmm. Because Impact, they would work very well there. I think they fit the brand better than they fit on main roster WWE. They just don't fit. They just don't sell. They just don't work. They're boring. Technically, Proficient's great. They are completely lack of charisma, even within the gimmick. So now you give them the belts, which I don't disagree with is a bad idea because they need them. They need something.
Right.
So how do you feel about this changeover?
That makes sense. I mean, it makes Seth Rollins look like the superhero, taking them on 2-on-1, which is always great for developing him. Mm-hmm. The Seth Rollins legend doesn't need much developing, but it's always nice to remind us how awesome he is at times. So I hate the fact they're shortening their name to just AOP. They've announced him as that, and the graphics they were on there. And I just still can't understand Drake Maverick still being there. They got to turn on him eventually if they find a better solution to managing them. It's just so weird to see the dichotomy of his personalities there. But AOP doing what they do, they just, you know, clunky dominators, I guess. And just give them something to energize the division again. Like you said, we said on this program numerous times, the Raw tag division still very much in progress of being something really, you know, concrete. So yeah, it's a clean way to get the tag belts off Seth and Dean and kind of just focus on what's going on with those two in general with the Shield stuff. So yeah, it was fine. I'm interested to see how they're going to breed the challengers from here on out.
And then you have Dean Ambrose coming in again and
picking
the bones. And they're slow playing this whole Y thing, which I think is good. Let's slow play it a little bit, and I think that's a good idea. I love the Elias Dolph Ziggler stuff. I thought that was terrific.
Excellent.
I love where Elias, Baron Corbin, and all that stuff going. You know, all this face turn for Elias has been terrific. I think he's also kind of fitting into that snarky baby face, where you love him and he's a jerk and he's very quick-witted and he's funny. He's naturally gifted with comedy. And that's great because you need a lot of it. And I think that they have an opportunity here to really make Elias a superstar if they do it right. And yes. And I feel like the crowd in England really told you that.
The way when you play Seven Nation Army on the guitar, you're going to win the moment. So.
Yeah, but you know what? Good for him. He's smart enough and they're smart enough to put that all together.
That's what I'm saying,
I think that's going to work, man. I think he's going to be able to really pull it off. The question is, what's the feud for him to pull it off? Because you can't put him against Seth Rollins necessarily for that belt, but to me, that's the belt he needs. He's intercontinental. He's intercontinental champion is where he needs to be.
Well, if we're elevating Seth and Dean to the title picture, eventually the Universal title or whatever WWE Championship, if the brand split doesn't, if it ends, then yeah, you could put Elias there for sure, in like a tournament or something eventually.
So who do you want to have him go against? You want to have him go against Baron Corbin? You want to do that?
I mean, the Corbin thing's fun, but he's got Braun kind of going there now. So maybe Elias and Braun can team up. That can kind of keep Braun healthy. It was just Elias wrestling, you know what I'm saying?
And they can I think they're going to put it back on Ziggler for a while and then Elias and Ziggler, because I think that combination showed me that it's got some good heat, and I think that would be the fun way to do it. You have the Riot Squad breaking sunglasses. Such an emotional moment, Tim. She clearly broke the sunglasses of my father, which...
Well, that's the funny thing about grief. It can come at any time. I actually didn't mind that.
My grief comes every time Sarah Logan walks out to a ring. Nice laugh, jerk.
You have to fit one in every time.
I wouldn't be true to the brand. I got to stay on brand.
I kind of liked it. I think it was overdone, but I think the idea was there. It was okay.
No, it's fine. Ruby Riott's good. Ruby Riott works. I don't know how the other ones are going to work. Liv Morgan, I give a 50-50 shot. She could either be very good or waste away into oblivion. But Ruby Riott, I think, is going to stick around. Apollo Crews,
she's great,
getting some moments, getting some stuff there with Jinder Mahal. That's fun, too. And I also wouldn't mind if they put – I know it's going to sound crazy. I wouldn't mind if they put the belt on Jinder Mahal for Intercontinental either.
And why not?
Well, because I think Elias, that's a good foil for Elias, too, where he can mock him and do all kinds of stuff. You need a straight man for him. Mm-hmm. Ziggler kind of works because you can make fun of him as a pretty boy or whatever it is. Baron Corbin works for obvious reasons. And Jinder Mahal would work, too, because – if he's going to play this over-the-top villain, that's what you do. You undercut him. I think it's good. Ronda, Ronda's promo, same old Ronda promo. I knock down doors in judo. I knock down doors.
Chicago police officer. I
knock down doors. Me and Dennis Franz from NYPD Blue, we knock down doors. That's what we do. But I was fine with this. You got Nia coming out, and then you get the Nia defeating Ember into the Tamina Alliance, which, okay, I'm fine with that.
Look, Joe, there's another group of two women pairing together.
Oh, you're right, Tim. If only there was some sort of belt that they could all be fighting for. Bobby Lashley defeating Finn Balor. Finn Balor, just talk about getting lost in this shuffle. It's just so sad.
That would be a Dolph Ziggler feud waiting to happen.
Why can't Finn Balor get a push? Why can we just push Finn Balor? Can we just do that? Can we try? I mean, I don't know what to do at this point.
They really have to demuddy the mid-card.
We need to elevate Finn Balor to the main event status because, and I keep telling you, it's the only way to do it is to make him the demon again. That's what you do.
Yeah, you got to save the demon, though. You can't bring it out every time.
You can't, but I mean, you can at least refer to it. I told you, the gimmick is him managing the demon.
It was a good idea, but they're not going to let it happen because he's just he's a vanilla midget, apparently, seems like, in Vince's eyes. So,
God, seriously, whatever.
That's the only thing I can guess is what's happening. But
all right, what was your take on McIntyre Kurt Angle?
I liked it. Really, they're trying to hammer home that McIntyre is, this psychopath. It was great.
I love Drew. Drew's terrific.
Well, Drew's another.
Drew Finn Balor, I'd like to see. I'd like to see Braun Strowman Finn Balor on the higher level, not the mid card. I'd like to see Finn Balor and Seth Rollins more. I'd like to see Finn Balor or Dean Ambrose. Like, all that's like, he should not be fighting Bobby Lashley. Okay?
We're kind of at that weird point in the WWE or anywhere where stuff might emerge from this in the next month or two as clearer. But I think I'm with you. I think it's more so that scrambling after Roman stuff.
Do you think Kurt Angle can still go?
Enough. I mean, he can still go enough.
All right, fair enough.
He manages time there. Oh, and I got to give a shout-out to Alexa Bliss and Baron Corbin and being on the show. That was a really fun promo between the two of them and how they kept getting interrupted. That was good stuff.
Yeah. Cycling back
to that.
Baron Corbin's been good in the GM role.
Yep.
I mean, there's just no way around it. I mean, I know a lot of people don't like Baron Corbin, but I think he's grown into it, which there was certainly some question if this was going to be the right transition, but I think he's made it. I think he's been pretty darn good in the role. I like it. I think it's excellent. And I'll tell you what else I like over on SmackDown. I like Rey Mysterio versus Cien Almas. How about that?
That was fun.
I mean, talk about a tease. They keep teasing me with Cien Almas AJ Styles. They keep teasing me with Cien Almas and Rey Mysterio. And I mean, the guy's delivering every single time. So where's the Almas push? Where is it? Let's do it. I mean,
well, there's a guy who could just take over Raw immediately.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, and if it's a matter of moving somebody over, then do it. If it's a matter of making a trade, do it. Here's the thing. You have this inevitable roster split coming to an end anyway. I mean, realistically, do they not want to start until after WrestleMania? You think that's the issue?
Yeah, I think they have to first. It depends on the storylines they're pushing. If they're really just resetting everything, then why not just do a brand split? If they're really trying to make the adjustments of the storylines all the way through, you know, just kind of finish that path, they probably won't do it until after WrestleMania. But
I think they should do it as a gimmick WrestleMania. I think WrestleMania should be the end of the brand split WrestleMania. So it's kind of like Survivor Series in that way.
Your last chance at these people for a while type of thing. Or,
just do it. Just like get it out there, do it, and then then it frees up all the tag teams to now go back and forth. It frees up everything where you can have the different feuds again. They really are at a point where the brand split's been fine, but Raw's been so decimated by so many injuries and issues that it really is dragging behind. And I know it's also the time of year where Raw's going to drag behind anyway because of Monday Night Football and all the other stuff, but they want to have a hot January, start working towards the new year being the year of the end of the brand split. And if you want to do it slow, fine, but at least start showing me some stuff working towards it. But going back to Almas and Mysterio, this was every time I have a match with Almas, I have high expectations, and I feel like every time he exceeds them for me.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think they're just more of like, as I was saying, it's paying his dues by, you know, I mean, not that losing to Rey Mysterio is anything bad, but it's just like, you know, you figure he's putting these guys over. I mean, of course he's losing. Look who he's losing to: Rey Mysterio, the, you know, AJ Styles, Daniel Bryan.
Right.
I think those are good guys to lose to and still keep your shine for sure. Right. Yeah,
it's just there's nothing off about his shine that's off for me.
Right. Oh, absolutely. You know, just Zelina Vega and him, we've praised them so much in this show, and I think that they'll get their chance in the coming months. I do.
I agree. You also saw Jeff Hardy lose to Samoa Joe, so he's going to now be in the fearsome group that is Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan and The Miz, which is funny because you look at the size of like McIntyre and Braun Strowman on the other side, and you're like, okay. Yeah. Like, right. Yeah,
and,
whatever.
And here's the thing. Why would you appoint Daniel Bryan and Miz as captains when they hate each other and you're trying to really win this thing?
I find that
kind of weird.
I think it's fun.
Because they're both talented guys, but
I think the whole Miz-Daniel Bryan thing just works because you're creating tension over something, and that's good.
Well, I'm saying from Shane's perspective, why would you do that is what I'm asking.
I think it's just a device to create some good opportunities for bits where they're fighting over the roster. Make them co-captains, they don't get along. I don't think they've thought about that too much.
Exactly.
But I don't think that's in this case, it's not a bad thing. Let's talk about Becky Lynch, who called
It's good resulting humor, I agree.
So, yeah, that's all that matters. Yeah. Becky Lynch, another great promo on Ronda. Every time Ronda cuts a promo on her, she's going to cut one better. And the writing on SmackDown's better, so they're going to give her better words to say. The crowd could be behind her. And then the most glorious thing happened. Nikki Cross came out to fight her. And we saw a Sanity appearance. My God. I was literally going to text Eric and be like, where the hell are you guys? And then they were. I was like, yay, hooray. So the question is, and look, and Nikki was great. She did her classic Nikki stuff. The question is, Tim, is this a one-off because it where it was in England, or is this the beginning of Nikki Cross on the main roster?
Well, it's a fun way to get her back into the limelight a little bit. I mean, having her in the UK, you know, assured a good pop. Not that she wouldn't get a good pop on any other place, but of course they're going to know who she is here. So, you know, a wild Sanity appeared. It was great. Nice to see them again. And yeah, I think it was just a really good foil for Becky to just, you know, have her really be challenged for a little bit and establish Nikki as a legitimate threat in a women's division on SmackDown that, you know, let's face it, undercard the women's division is as much as I like a lot of those competitors, including Asuka, who's, you know, just kind of hiding for a while, I guess. Nikki gives some new blood to that, and I think it's a good thing for that division. So,
yeah. Also in that division, too, you got a little Mandy Rose push, which I thought was going to be coming soon. I really felt like it was time, and you could see them laying the groundwork for it a little bit with her and Sonya and stuff like that. And She was good. I like the promo. It was good coming down. I always feel like it's harder to cut the promo on the ramp than anywhere else. I always feel like coming down to the ring is one of those things that's a little difficult.
Yeah.
You know, backstage is easy. In the ring is easy. When you're walking down to the ramp, I think it's a little bit harder, the concentration level. But I think she did a good job there. So good that they're starting to push her. I would also say, you know, for Raw people too, I mean, you know, do more with the women. I know Alexa Bliss is hurt and that kind of,
yeah,
you know, that's a big problem, you know, because she's another one that always adds a glimmer of sunshine to the rainy day.
Moments of bliss, if you will.
Moments of bliss, as it were. So, you know, that's also a negative right now. All these injuries, they're just crushing them. Also, I think the unheralded match of the night is going to be that tag team Survivor Series because, you know, you saw the Usos and New Day just have another just fan. Every time those guys go out, it's a classic, I feel like.
I agree. To go back, I think, you know, you've seen Mandy be good with promos back from Tough Enough. She was always solid. And, of course, you know, say what you want about the rest of the package, which is always going to be, you know, good for television, I guess, so to speak. And I think, you know, I'm not a big Naomi promo fan. I'm not a big – Carmella has her moments, but not consistently. So Sonya Deville on the mic is not always great. And Mandy's the one that kind of sticks out as a character there. So it does make a lot of sense to push her. And, you know, we've seen her come a long ways with wrestling ability as well. So good for her that they're – getting some more shine on her. And yeah, the Usos are just, you know, that was a great match for one. I mean, they're always going to kill it, those two teams. So
yeah, and you know, as far as the team on Raw, look, you're gonna have the Usos, you're gonna have the New Day, you've got three more teams to go. So on the other side of that, on the Raw side of Revival, the tag teams, you're gonna have the you're not gonna have the Authors of Pain. So I guess it's B Team and the Revival. And, you know, maybe Chad Gable and Bobby Roode.
Probably, yeah.
Right? So that's three right there. So, I mean, I think that might be the sneaky good match of the night. I really do. There's a lot of talent in that ring at one time. And I always think that's always a good thing to have.
You might have Lucha House Party as well.
I think you're definitely going to have Lucha House Party.
Yeah.
I think they definitely want to make that a thing, which makes sense to me. I'm fine with that.
So. Yeah.
And maybe that's an opportunity where you bring back Bray Wyatt or somebody else. Like maybe... You know, maybe that, I'm trying to think of where you can bring him back, but I mean, I guess at this point they're just bringing him back at the Rumble, right?
Well, that would be the surprise breakout, you know, pop for sure.
I want to see a healthy, svelte-looking, badass, big, strong Bray Wyatt in January in Royal Rumble. That's what I really want.
I wouldn't mind him and Luke Harper attacking all these teams. But yeah, that's good. I like that.
Well, at this point for Royal Rumble, I mean, I think for the women, we all know it's Charlotte Flair. We all know Charlotte Flair is going to win the Royal Rumble for the women.
Yep.
For the men, now that Roman's out of the equation with the belt.
They might decide these next 2 months.
Have no idea where it's going to go. I really don't, Tim. I mean, if you had your money right now, you were placing bets in Vegas, where would you put it?
Well, if Braun's healthy, he'd be up there. Seth, he hasn't won a Royal Rumble yet, right? I don't think so. He's been champion a couple times.
You want Money in the Bank. I don't think he's won a Rumble yet. I don't have a problem with that. I mean, I guess you got to figure Seth, Brock Lesnar. That's
a great match. Yeah, that would be a good match.
You got to think WrestleMania marquee. And I think Seth Rollins, Brock Lesnar does that.
And Seth Rollins is your primo baby face with all this Ambrose stuff and the Roman stuff going on. So
I think that works. I think the only other thing that would work too is if you know, somehow get AJ Styles into the top of that billing. You know, AJ Seth Rollins is always going to be, from a wrestling fan standpoint, that's always going to be. But, you know, they're going to want the superstar guy. They're going to want Brock. And it's funny because Brock Lesnar has two matches. He either has the five-minute one-move match that he does over and over again, which I hate. I freaking hate it.
But it worked against Goldberg. I like that. I think it was a guy, nice contained universe for the two of them to work in. It was okay. Anyway.
But on the other side of that, dude, like I'm thinking of it, and I'm like, you know, the other side of that is that Brock Lesnar every now and then does have a decent match. Like he is capable when he's focused and gives a crap. Mm-hmm. Probably was last year's WrestleMania was a huge problem. That was a huge problem match from numerous standpoints. The finish, the way it was executed, the two guys going into it that were very unpopular. You can't go into WrestleMania again with an unpopular marquee main event. I think they're going to realize that, and I think in New York, you must realize that.
Yeah, sure, and, you know, Seth Rollins is going to be the giant pop anyway in New York, so, yeah.
So, I mean, Seth Rollins, Brock Lesnar, I can get behind.
Yeah.
So what you need to have is you need to have this kind of, you know, Dean Ambrose winning the IC belt or something like that. You need to have Dean beating him and then, you know, figuring out a way to kind of That's what you do. You rebuild him back.
They got to be the last two in the Rumble to pay that off. Absolutely.
Yeah. You know what? That's exactly what you – you know what? You're 100% right. You have him – you have Dean and December at TLC win
Intercontinental title. Yep.
Then you have them square off there at the end of Royal Rumble, which is going to be terrific.
That massive, massive pop that would be.
Yeah, and I think you put Bray Wyatt in that final four too.
Yes, I'm with that. You put
Braun Strowman, Bray Wyatt, and Rollins, and Dean Ambrose in there, and if you can,
or Drew McIntyre,
or Drew McIntyre. Yeah, I think you could certainly
Rollins again.
Put them any yeah. There's a couple guys in that four you can have that would be really like the crowd's gonna, and they're gonna look around each other and look at the crowd and all that stuff, and the crowd's gonna go nuts. But Dean and Seth at the end there. That's the moment. That's what you do. And then you have, and if you can do it, you have Seth Rollins come out at WrestleMania with Roman Reigns. And the crowd goes ballistic.
Wearing a Roman t-shirt, if nothing else.
No, I mean, literally come out there with.
But I'm saying.
Because imagine that pop.
I agree. But wearing a Roman t-shirt, if he can't make it, would be just as good, I think.
Because I think that, because you have that whole, because if it's Brock, you have that storyline, right?
You're right, absolutely.
Where there's that unfinished business there and all that stuff. And then like, well, I'm not going to be out here alone with Paul Heyman out here. So I brought some backup. And then you play the Roman Reigns music and the crowd goes bananas. And Roman just comes out to the ring and he just hovers and maybe he ends up in the finish somehow. And that's a great moment there.
I hope he would be available for that. That would be a great idea.
If he's healthy enough to do just that, that would be spectacular.
Well, that would, yeah.
I mean, you know, to me, in my mind, you're trying to make WrestleMania memories. That's one where you're like, wow, what a great all-time moment. Roman coming out there, that Seth winning, and then, you know, he has that moment there where he's involved in the finish. And then you could set up later on this massive Seth Rollins-Roman Reigns thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of like, okay, well, you know, I appreciate you, you know, you helping me and all that stuff, and now it's time for me to take your thing back. And you can make Roman the full heel if you want.
There are good ways to play with it. Either way, I just hope we're talking about a Roman Reigns is going to be
competition soon. I definitely hope so, too.
I'm with you, though. That would be an awesome idea.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right. So that'll do it for us today. I know it was a little shorter episode, but obviously with Crown Jewel being what it wasn't so much. But next week, we'll be here. We'll be previewing all Survivor Series. There's going to be a whole lot to talk about because we're going to get all the final names here because it's not this coming Sunday. It's next Sunday, right, Survivor Series? It's the
Yep, Survivor Series is the, was it the 14th, 15th, 18th, I think? Yeah,
18th, right. So a whole lot's going to happen. You know, there's going to be so much to digest because we're going to get all the finished names into these Survivor Series matches.
Yep.
There's still a lot of them TBD. So that's going to be a lot to get to. We're going to preview all that. Plus,
2-hour show. No, I'm kidding.
Two-hour show is spectacular. But no, we're going to have our big top five list, two of our favorite Survivor Series moments.
Meaty stuff to talk about there. So.
Yeah, a lot of fun stuff. So that'll do it for me and Tim Heaney. Obviously, you can follow us over at In This Ring. Make sure you subscribe everywhere you can listen to podcasts on iTunes. You can subscribe. Make sure you share with your friends. You can subscribe at iHeartRadio. Everywhere. We got it all. And we're all part of the In This League radio network. Yeah. So follow Tim Heaney at Tim_Heaney. Follow me at JoePizzapia17. Wrestling fans, tweet us your ideas and topics and things you want us to talk about on the show. We're open to it. We're out there, and Tim's working the In This Ring Twitter handle all the time, so go over and check that out. And there's only one thing left to do, and that's to tell and remind everybody to be the men. You gotta beat the men, and we are the men.
Woo!